It matters what we worship. As Joel Anderson told us, as what Sinilan Falas told us at the beginning of our time together. I'm going to speak for just a couple of minutes, but I'm going to use as a place to start this quotation from Reverend Dr. Jacqueline Lewis, who says, "On earth as it is in heaven." When she was a child and was learning the Lord's Prayer, she was confused about the "Hallowed be thy name" and all kinds of things. But when she got to "On earth as it is in heaven," "I got that," she said. "Even as my notions of heaven have turned away from streets paved with gold and pearly gates, I'm deeply inspired by the idea of a vision of earth to which our aspirations have come all the way down." It means that Sunday morning, in her estimation, we had a chance with one another to rehearse heaven. Even for those of us who don't believe in it, some of us still have an idea about what the earth would be like if it were just. The earth would be like if it were filled with beauty. The earth would be like if everyone knew love. What heaven do we see when we walk into this place? When we walk in and see each other, what heaven do we see? And not only that, for those of us who have shown off, what heaven do we show? And when I say showing off, we all show off here. We're all performative here in that we get to greet one another with the heaven that's inside of us that we imagine in an exchange with one another. And then finally, what heavens shall we practice with one another? What does it mean for us to come to church? What does it mean for us to be a community together? What's the practice that we're going to have with one another as we try to bring about our own change, our own transformation, our own growing toward that heaven that we might imagine? The little story that Stephen Covey tells, and I think this is the seventh habit. Suppose you came upon someone in the woods working to saw down a tree. He is exhausted from working for hours. And you suggest that he take a break and chop on the saw. And he replies, "Sorry, I don't have time to chop on the saw. I'm too busy sawing." There are times where I'm so busy doing church that I don't take the time to sharpen the saw of what it means to be the church person that I hope to be. Covey is going to encourage us to actually think about that as a principal thing to be doing, to make sense in our lives, is to be sharpening the saw. And for us, that means sharpening the saw of what it means to be a liberal religious community where we manifest heaven to each other on Sunday morning. That's an old universalist notion. The universalists in the 19th century talked about the happification of humankind. And they weren't talking about a construct where you're kind of balancing off the experiences that bring me joy and the experiences that bring me pain and somehow utilitarianly follow upon happiness. No. They said that there's something about being a human being loved by the love of the universe that you should be happy. You should experience happiness. You should practice happiness with one another. I think that's what Jack Lewis is encouraging us to think about when we practice heaven. There are a number of thinkers who are wondering about what kind of a practice
sharpening the soul with one another. It involves the mind, it involves the body, it involves the heart, it involves the spirit. What are the things that we can do to sharpen mind, body, heart, and spirit? And I think I bring this question to a religious community to say that we shouldn't leave this out to each individual. You sharpen your mind. You take care of that body. Hey, what the heck's going on with your heart, right? What's wrong with the spine? This is something that we should pay attention to in the heaven that we're building, the happiness that we're trying to manifest. So in terms of the minds, there's all kinds of things we can do, I bet we do. We read and study. We have programs on it. We discuss and debate, not to demolish the other, but to sharpen the mind and better understand yourself and the other. Some of us journal and write. I know Pat Nundy has a special place where she writes every day. I've looked out that window at her special place that she's set aside. If you looked at the kind of mess at my desk at home, you actually would see one corner where my morning pages are kept in a little box. We take a class to really sharpen the mind. We pursue a certificate or a degree, more than a class, a bunch of classes. We might learn a foreign language. Our intern practices her foreign language every day. Every day she's on Duolingo or whatever, both refreshing her Russian and her Spanish, but also working on things that are new. Study groups, book groups, all things by which we sharpen our mind. And in so doing, what is it that we see? What is it that we show? How is it that we show practice? Think about the body. There's a metaphorical weightlifting that we need to do as a community of faith. But some of us can actually benefit from lifting weights, especially by the way, people as we age. A great thing for our essential structures is to be doing some weightlifting because it helps you with your bones. We could do cardio training, like 10,000 steps every day, hoop training, to feed your gym dishes. Better know that think vibrates around 5 in the afternoon, but sometimes not until 11 at night. Yoga is a practice for the universe. Pilates works for some. Tai Chi, Qigong. Balanced diet, conscious eating is a way that we think about what the heaven would be, what the happiness would be that relates to what goes into our bodies. I remember Zoe just got a belt in martial arts, my recollection, and all kinds of sports. And I don't know who we've lost Owen to, but I know this time of year we start to lose him because he's playing baseball. And dance, more dance. What heaven do we see? What heaven do we show? What heaven shall we practice? The heart. Psychotherapy, some of us need it. Dream work, some of us do it. Journaling, art, dance, music therapy, volunteer work. Heartfelt service. Not begrudging service, but service that is intentional, opens you up, deals with the heart. 12-step programs, philanthropy, generosity. Generosity is a way of saying, there is enough in the world. What I have, I can share. And couples work, which is incredibly important. And finally, spirit, meditation, prayer, mindful yoga, sacred song, chanting, dance, mantra, making mandalas at a workshop making mosaics, taking the broken pieces of life and making something new and beautiful. Practices of gratitude. What heaven do we see? What heaven do we show? What heaven shall we practice? This integral, transformative practice asks some questions of us. Who are we not? And I say this because this conversation went out about programs as church, and that it relates to things like the budget that we'll begin talking about this afternoon. And the fact of the matter is, we're staffed to be a programs as church, but we aren't a programs as church. We'll remember that Alice Mann told us to not even call ourselves that until we have 170 people in this room every Sunday morning, or 170 people in the various services we have on the weekend, which could be more than just this morning. But that's just a thing to think about. We have aspirations to be a programs as church. We don't quite yet have the capacity, although we're getting close. Who are we? Well, we're trying to think about that a little bit. The new congregation of Swedenberg. And I hope each of you will carefully, soulfully, generously log on to the survey and spend 20 minutes, 25 minutes taking that survey. We think it's going to be helpful for us as we think about our future. And I know that there will be people able to help you with that in the parish hall this afternoon. I understand that I think still, if you log on to the church website, you get a little pop-up that'll take you to the survey. I'm going to extend the survey for another week. So anytime this next week, through next Sunday, I hope you'll look at the day of the beginning, on Monday the 5th of March. And there are two conversations that are about to happen. And we're asking people to bring the best of who they are to the conversation about power, about your power, about how powerful this church is, about the good things that we find here in our practice of being happy, of being heaven, of us showing to the world that it matters to be part of a congregation like ours. And who do we dream to be? Well, there's the sound system. And I bring that up just to say it's one thing when the sound system is a need, a huge need. Another thing when there's actually a proposal to make something happen. But we have to deliver on those proposals. And so the fact of the matter is we have a great idea for a sound system. We have some money put away. We've begun to do some fixes. But we still need to have some more involvement in making this happen. And so we have to be true, right? We have to look for real at each other and at our capacity. And let's think about the dream we have for this place. And the heaven we want to show in this place. And be real with each other. And then this question of being a culturally competent community. And it does it that way for us to be able to say that we actually have a culture here. And there are ways that we live into a culture of openness and invention, culture of creativity and forward thinking. There are ways we also we're culturally looking at our history and proud of it and burdened about this building and proud of that. So let's just be competent in saying we can talk with each other about this for real, as if the culture of First Unitarian Church is a real culture. And then let's begin to think how we can become more multicultural, which means multi-generational, for example. And that's one of these things that the experimentation happens to family-friendly voice, is to become more culturally competent. Jubilee anti-racism training, which is happening next weekend. We still need some more people to sign up for it to break even, just to let you know.
So it means there's still half a dozen spaces available. And if you have signed up for Jubilee anti-racism training, please speak to me or to Dora. And we would really love to help you think about being part of the scholarship. There are scholarship funds available to make it happen. But a chance to think about how racism functions in a larger society and also how it functions in our own community. We dream to be a Black Lives Matter place, and that's more than putting the sign on the front, although that was an important part. But for us to continually be in touch with what's really happening in our city and around the country, we have to investigate Black Lives Matter in a richer way and live into it, provide more opportunities. And the Middle Conference is just to kind of do full circle and giant tools. The Middle Conference happens in April, and it's a chance for people to think very specifically about how love can overwhelm racism, how love can bring worshiping places like ours a new, give them a new life, a deeper commitment to the kind of culture we hope that we are implanting for ourselves and for the world. It's going to take our minds and our bodies, it's going to take our hearts and our spirits. It's going to take some integration with one another of the fullest and truest that we are. It's going to take some transformation of who we are and how we are with one another. And that's going to take practice and practice and practice. And Jackie Lewis again says, worship helps us to receive God's dream, not the language that we would use, but the language she would use, and hopefully we can translate. And rehearse it on earth as if it is in heaven. And then these words from our brothers and sisters in the Jewish tradition, I'm about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth, do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers. Blessed be Hashem, Hashem, Salam, Shalom. I'm going to take a